Silas was one of those people who are not as well known as some because he always seems to be overshadowed by others, but he plays an important role in the spread of the gospel. We're introduced to him in Acts chapter 15 as a leading man in the church at Jerusalem, who, along with Judas, was chosen by the apostles, with the blessing of the church, to visit the church at Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. The purpose of the visit was to take a letter to the Gentile believers there to teach them that conversion was a work of God and not based on a set of rules and regulations, and also to show them the need to distance themselves from their former way of life. Who better to send with Paul and Barnabas than those who had proved themselves sound leaders and teachers? The apostles knew that Silas was a man who would teach and preach the gospel faithfully. We read that Silas, along with Judas, encouraged and strengthened the believers with many words. The truth of God's word was preached in such a way as it could be understood and did not leave the listeners with any degree of uncertainty. Where the Bible calls these men prophets, in Acts 15 verse 32, it is referring to them as men who had been inspired by God to enable them to speak the words of the Lord as given to them through the scriptures. It is not referring to someone who can foretell the future. Silas was a man with special gifts that the Lord could use in the church. It is important today that our church leaders are people who know the scriptures and are able to preach and teach them faithfully, and also to encourage those they have been called to lead. When the church at Antioch felt it was time for Paul and those with him to return to Jerusalem, Paul and Barnabas felt they should stay there longer, and Silas felt he should stay there with them. However, just a few days later, Paul felt called to go on another mission, this time to follow up those who had responded to the gospel on his first mission. Silas was chosen by Paul to accompany him. You can read this in Acts chapter 15 and verse 40. This shows the hand of God working, because if Silas had returned to Jerusalem, he wouldn't have been in a position to go with Paul. It had been God's will that Silas remain in Antioch for a little while longer, so he had put it into the mind of Silas to stay. Eventually they arrive at Philippi, after picking up Timothy on the way. We read about their time there in Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 12. We don't read anything of Silas' involvement in evangelizing, but he was with Paul throughout his stay there. The mission appeared to be going well at first, with the conversion of Lydia and her household. But then things changed. We also read in Acts 15 verse 26 that Silas was a man who had risked his life for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. This shows how God chooses people who are prepared to suffer for the sake of the gospel, as there were going to be times when his life would be in danger. Along with Paul, we read that he was forcibly arrested and brought before the magistrates. Unfortunately, the crowds were not prepared to wait for the magistrates to reach a verdict, and eventually the magistrates gave in to them and had their clothes torn off them and had them beaten and ordered the jailer to have them locked up in what we today would call the maximum security wing of the prison. They were put in a cell from which there was no possible way they could escape. Despite being in prison, Silas and Paul continued praising God. Most people would find this hard to do, considering their circumstances. They had been stripped and severely beaten, so they would be in considerable pain. They also had the discomfort of being fastened in stocks. He realized he was there because it was God's will. He probably didn't realize immediately that his and Paul's actions would result in the jailer and his family coming to a saving knowledge of the Lord. It is here that we learn, like Paul, he was a Roman citizen. This meant that they had to be treated within the law. Paul complained to the Philippian authorities that they had not been treated as such, as they had been beaten and put in prison without a trial. It appears that Silas worked alongside Paul, working quietly in the shadows. He was prepared to let Paul take the lead when it came to speaking to the people. This is an important part of any ministry. It is always encouraging to have someone with you for support. While Paul was preaching to the people, Silas was probably praying and at the end of the meeting would engage in conversation with those present. After leaving Philippi, the party visited Thessalonica, where we read of Paul speaking to the Jews in the synagogue. Although some of the Jews were persuaded, there were many who were opposed to this new doctrine they were hearing. Although we don't read of Silas' involvement in the preaching, He must have been actively involved for his name to be included with Paul's when the riot broke out and the mob searched for them. It appears that along with Paul, he had a reputation for causing trouble with their preaching about Jesus being another king. As their life was in danger, the believers helped them escape during the night. The party then travelled to Berea, where they received a warmer welcome to begin with. When Paul left there, Silas and Timothy stayed behind, because they felt there was still work to do there, despite opposition from the people. As we have already seen, Silas was a gifted preacher and teacher. The people of Berea had received the word eagerly, but they needed further teaching. Paul would have been quite happy to leave Silas in Berea because he knew he was capable of giving sound teaching to the new converts there. You might notice that Silas' name is placed before Timothy's. This is probably because he was more experienced in the Christian life than Timothy. Also, he had received a good grounding in the scriptures at Jerusalem before being given the responsibility of leadership in the church. Timothy was still quite young and still learning how to serve the Lord. In his first and second letters to the church at Thessalonica, Paul includes Silas in his greeting, showing that he played a big part in the preaching at that church and of his involvement as part of the fellowship during the weeks they were there. There is also a reference to the preaching of Silas in Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth. He writes in the 19th verse of the first chapter, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was preached among you by me," that's Paul, "and Silas." Silas was a man who was prepared to travel to wherever God wanted the gospel preached and where believers needed encouragement. Silas is also associated with the Apostle Peter. We read in Peter's first letter, chapter 5 and verse 12, that it was with the help of Silas that he was able to write the letter. It is thought he was more educated than Peter, who had just been a fisherman, and therefore not needing much education. Even today, many well-known people have their autobiographies published, but the information about their lives that they want people to read is often put down in literary form by what have become known as ghostwriters. They are prepared to remain almost anonymous and either allow their name to be omitted or placed in much smaller print than that of the subject of the book. Silas was a man who was prepared to take second place to others, but was ready to come to the front and be accountable when called upon to do so. Thank you for listening. Goodbye for now.